Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
903 here on The Fan in New York City. Tommy Lugauer.
You and I need to have a three-way.
Loogie. Hopefully everybody's having a very pleasant Luke evening, right in the middle of a big Lugowski, a five-hour...
Luke evening.
Thank you. Right in the middle of a big Lugowski, a five-hour after hours, taking you up till midnight here on The Fan. Just an open forum. You want to talk Mets, you want to talk Yankees, you want to talk football as training camp is right around the corner. John Harbaugh provided some... I guess you can call them updates on Cam Scataboo and Malik Nabers in an interview that John Harbaugh had today or took part in today. Quote, Malik will be working his way into practice as camp gets started in one way or another. You'll see a lot of those guys this season. Scat's further ahead, but Malik is not far behind. Okay, based on everything that I've heard, read, and seen kind of over this offseason, I fully expect Cam Scataboo to be ready for week one. I think Scat will be out there, and Scat was such an energizer for this team. He, along with Jackson Dart, they brought an energy and a vibe, especially to offense and an identity that this team needed on offense for a very, very long time. The backflips, ripping the shirt off, the dancing, the eye black on their faces. The Giants, for a few weeks there, turned into the Savannah Bananas in the best possible way. And then, unfortunately, Scat suffered a major, gruesome injury, and he was lost for the year. But I am anticipating Scataboo returning to this team and being ready to go for week one. Malik Nabers, that's a different story. And as much as I want to see Nabers back week one, I don't expect it at all. I would say closer to week four, week five, week six. In the meantime, the Giants have obviously made a lot of additions in the offseason to the wide receiver room. Darnell Mooney, Calvin Austin. Now, Isaiah Likely by trade is a tight end, but I view him as a wide receiver. And he's a guy that wasn't always given the opportunity in Baltimore because Mark Andrews is a Pro Bowl and an All-Pro tight end. But Isaiah Likely, anytime he got an opportunity to play, he shined. He's got a tremendous skill set. I think he's going to get a chance to be the player he wasn't able to be in Baltimore because he didn't get the reps. He will get those reps. He will get those opportunities. He will get those touches. Obviously, no stranger to John Harbaugh, Isaiah Likely, having played for the Ravens. And with the departure of Wandale Robinson, I could see Isaiah Likely playing that slot role that has been voided ever since Robinson signed with the Titans. This past offseason, you also, if the Giants, they brought in Odell Beckham Jr., which I was championing for months, and Odell is not the player he used to be, not even close, but as a veteran presence, as a guy that can make a play here or there, I'm all for it. And if he is a malcontent, which I don't expect him to be, because I think he's matured, I think he's humbled by this opportunity to close out his career with the team that he started his career with, I'm very much on board with Beckham being here, and I was very happy to see that the Giants brought him in. And if he doesn't have it anymore and they want to cut him, it is what it is, but at least you give him the opportunity to make this team. Same thing with Juju Smith-Schuster. Berrios, they also brought in Braxton Berrios, who I think will service more as a special teams guy, so he has a real good opportunity and a real good chance to make this Giants team. But they're going to have to find their way, I think, in the wide receiver room for the first couple weeks without Malik Nabers. The running game should be intact, though. You signed a fullback in the offseason. Scataboo sounds like he's going to be ready for week one. And by all accounts, really all along, it felt like Scat would be ready for week one. Tracy will be ready to go. Jackson Dart will be the running quarterback that he was last year. I think the Giants made that clear today in John Harbaugh that they're going to use Jackson Dart, much like the Ravens used and still use Lamar Jackson, which is music to my ears. I mean, Lamar Jackson has won two MVPs with the Ravens. He's not always been the best playoff performer, but as far as regular season, Lamar Jackson is as good as any quarterback in the NFL when it comes to the regular season. He's certainly proven that time and time again as being a guy who's won a lot of regular season games and, of course, has two MVPs to his name. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Chris joins us from Queens here on After Hours. Tommy Lugauer on The Fan. What's up, Chris?
Hey, what's going on, Luke? Yeah, you know, the funny thing, I've been listening to you, I think, for the last couple of years. You kind of remind me of a Mad Dog light, like a Mad Dog.
Yeah, I've gotten that before. I think it's because, you know, both of us butcher the English language and we rant about things a lot. That's where I think the comparisons sort of end. I wish I had his bank account, that's for sure.
That's great. Well, hopefully you have his long-lasting lore for the WFAN.
So.
Because he was great. He was great.
Yes.
But back to the Jets and Chargers.
Peacock?
Actually, Loogie, I think the Jets are going to, you said five, the over-under is five wins?
Yeah, their season total in Vegas, it's 5.5 wins.
Loogie, take it. Take it. Throw the house on it. The Jets are going to win between 7 and 9 games.
Wow, you're going over on it. I thought you were going under. Seven to nine games. Oh, you're going to explain it. Okay, so I just want it to be on the record, Chris. Okay. You here on July 14th at 9:08, you are predicting that this Jet team will win 7 to 9 games. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah, and Luke, I'm going to call you back, because I think you've got a future, so I'm going to call you back when they win their seventh game. But, Luke, I've been calling since 1990, back to the Eli from Westchester days. I don't even think you know about Eli from Westchester. He was a great caller.
I vaguely remember. What was sort of his run of calling?
Well, his run, I'm telling you, if there are archives of Mike and the Mad Dogs from about 1990 to 1995, those are the greatest years in radio sports. I'm telling you.
Yeah.
That's when the fan made those years. Yeah, those are the. His name is Eli from Westchester, and you know the funny thing about it, Mike got mad when they gave him a show because he was so great. He was a fan favorite. The fan gave him like a little tryout, and Mike didn't like that. But he died. Rest in peace. He's up there in heaven somewhere.
Sorry to hear that.
Eli from Westchester. But let me explain why. The guy can throw for the quarterback.
Geno Smith. Geno Smith.
He can throw.
He can.
The guy has a 4,000-yard season.
And just a couple years ago, he had one. Yep.
The tight end, and he's definitely, at this point in his career, he's a better quarterback, better thrower than Jackson Dart. Now the Giants have to utilize Scatterbull. The double running back, the double fullback, run with that.
Power eye.
Scatterbull run the ball. Scatterbull will punish opposing defenses. He will punish them. He will punish them. But, yeah. 7-9 wins for the Jets, and the tight end, Loogie, the tight end for the Jets, the rookie, the guy's a beast.
Yeah.
He's a beast. Kenyon, I forgot the guy, Sadiq?
Sadiq, yep,
yes.
From Oregon.
30 mm-hmm. catches, over 550 yards. The guy's a stud, Loogie.
I agree with that. You're calling him a tight end because he is technically a tight end, and I appreciate the call, Chris, but he's more like a wide receiver. Sadiq, he's going to have more of a wide receiver type of feel from him. And you also have, remember, you drafted Mason Taylor, not this past draft, but the draft before that. And I think he will operate more as the tight end, and Sadiq will be more of a wide receiver, but definitely a threat down in the red zone area. Had a good career at Oregon. And I remember being on the air during the pick. Look, the Jets have had a really good offseason. The biggest on the field with the Jets, because certainly off the field with the Jets is that they are the Jets. And when you are what the Knicks were, and when you kind of have a losing sort of way about you, it can be difficult to break that. Now, the Knicks were able to break it because of Tibbs and also because of Jalen Brunson. The Jets have to find their Tibbs and their Jalen Brunson. Which leads me to Aaron Glenn. Aaron Glenn had a miserable first year as a head coach. And he is going to have to make major strides in year two in order for me to believe that he is the guy for this job. If they fulfill what Chris just proclaimed and the Jets win 7-9 games, Aaron Glenn will be the toast of the town. Jet fans will be over the moon. Especially if it's closer to 9 wins. I'm just reacting because Junior Caminero just took a pitch off the hand, which is obviously, important for our audience because the Tampa Rays, and he's one of their best players. Trainers are checking him now. I don't think this is play-by-play. I'm just reacting to something that happened. This is one of the best players in baseball and obviously an all-star and one of the best players on the Rays. I doubt he stays in the game. It's an all-star game. He took the ball off his hand. He's going to go right, run in, and get, I'm sure, x-rays and get the heck out of the game. I mean, this is an all-star. I mean, he ran off the field. So I don't know if that's a... it kind of looked like off one of his fingers. Looked like it might have been one of his pinky finger or something like that, but he ran off the field, which is understandable. I mean, it's an all-star game. You want to get the heck out of there. I mean, these are the risks you run in these games. I mean, it could happen to any player. I mean, this is part of it. This is why some, like a Cam Schlittler, wants to avoid it, because you want to be healthy for your team for October. Nobody's trying to hurt anybody. Nobody's trying to hit anybody, but everybody's a little bit nervous. Everybody's a little amped up. Everybody's ready to go here and wants to put on a big-time performance, which is a very big stage here, the All-Star game. But Junior Caminero, he came out of the game. He got hit on the pinky. So hopefully, even I'm sure Yankee fans would feel the same way. Hopefully he's all right, because he is a great young player in this league. And obviously Tampa's off to an amazing start. Now, if you're a Yankee fan, look, I mean, you take it any way you can get it. But nobody is rooting for injuries. I'm not on that mindset. I never have been as a fan. I never will be. I don't root for injuries. I don't look at somebody getting hurt and saying, yay, somebody got hurt. That makes it easier for me to win. I'm just not wired that way. But we'll probably get an update at some point. Other than, look, he came out of the game. He's going to get imaging. He's going to get x-rays, I'm sure, on that pinky. But, I mean, he ran. The trainers came out to talk to him, and he just ran out of there, which is either he is just knows something is up, or it's because it's an all-star game. There's no reason you're going to tough things out or try to stay in the game. Where if that's a regular season game, he might have either stayed in or tried to figure out what was going on. But he, Junior Caminero, basically sprinted off the field after taking a fastball off of the, it seemed like his pinky on his, I want to say, left hand. 888-808-1019 we'll monitor it. It could have major implications on the American League East, because he's one of the Rays' best player. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Richie joins us from Queens. What's up, Richie?
Yeah, I just got that. I'm about 2 minutes behind you.
That's why I don't like to do that. I know I've been criticized in the past. Why don't you react to things going on? But I don't want to ruin it for everybody. But I thought that was a big enough thing because he's a Tampa player, you know? Or for Yankee, obviously.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and I saw Riley's face, and he's obviously upset. The kid, first All-Star, he's amped up.
Yeah, he's amped up. He doesn't want to hurt anybody.
If this goes according to Hoyle for the last 12 years, this game's over. I mean, the National League, I know it's a different year, but it's been the same. You know, when I grew up in the 60s and 70s, the National League just beat the hell out of them.
Yeah, it hasn't been the case over the last 20 years or so. American League has dominated this game.
Oh, my God, it's like 16-4 or something.
Yeah, even in a year where the National League is a superior league, you know, at least so far, the American League is flexing their muscles, up 3-0 with two runners on in the third.
Yeah, you know, when I was playing, again, I don't want to bring up the A's, but I kind of have to. You know, back in the 60s, Koufax pitched 3, Maréchal pitched 3, Carlton pitched 3. You know, there wasn't, relievers never got into the game. They pitched their
kinda,
pitches.
That's kind of BS, though, because when you want to, I mean, I like the idea that all these players, they take time out of their vacation to be there, and I know it's a big honor, but they should be able to play in the game. The idea that you only have 3 pitchers in the All-Star game is stupid. Everybody should get an opportunity.
Yeah, I mean, there was guys never played. You know, first of all, they didn't have the amount of players they had, obviously, the West teams.
Right.
But, you know, the American League, the All-Star game should mean something. I still think that's the only one I watch because I can't stand the other ones.
It's the best of the All-Star games by far.
Yeah, absolutely. And with the Giants, I know you're always out. I know 1 year you pitched 11 wins, and I thought you were over the top. But basically, you're right. And I got a question for you, too, there, if I can end it with that.
Yeah.
I do have a question for you, which I wouldn't normally ask most hosts, but I'm going to ask you.
Okay.
And that is, you know, with the Giants... You mentioned Neighbors. I know they got Fields. You know, Neighbors such a key. We lost Robinson. Tracy's okay. Hopefully Scottaboo is not a speedster as it comes. I think Edmonds will help. Our linebackers, Okery, they were terrible. Obviously, Reese, I touted from him from the beginning.
Sounds like he's going to be a linebacker, too, with the Giants, Reese.
Yeah, and I think the pressure will be there. I think defensively, they're going to, especially with Harbaugh, I do worry about their offense. Are they going to be a contending team where I go to the third game every year? I don't want them to be out, you know, at the end of October. I'd like to see them in competitive games. But I don't know. You know, Tom, I don't know about Geno Smith. Geno Smith, you could say it was the system last year and it was the coaching. He was horrible last year.
He was horrible. I think it was a combination of everything. It was a miserable year in Vegas. The offensive line was as bad as it can get. Geno was bad. I think you're going to get Geno somewhere in the middle of how bad he was last year and how he was 2 years ago in Seattle when he threw for 4,000 yards. I think it's going to land somewhere in the middle.
And this is a big thing with Smith. All right, here's the question I got. Because I know you hopped up a lot, and you really enjoy your enthusiasm. You go to dinner on a Saturday night, you and your wife. I know you don't have kids.
Okay.
What is it like? And I don't want to get intimate here. Are you, like, into your quiet? You're talking about the weekend? You're talking about maybe going on a nice trip? You're talking about politics? Basically what? Or are you not talking at all because you talk all week?
It's a great question, Richie. And I appreciate it. And I got a call and a question like this last night that was similar, just a slightly different setting. And that was, how is Tommy at the Thanksgiving dinner table? How is Tommy off air, so to speak? And this is a little bit different, although kind of in the same category. How am I out to dinner with my wife on Saturday? Okay. When you are first dating a girl and you go to dinner with her, you better be chatty. I mean, the idea that you two would sit there and have nothing.
As the U.S. men's national team takes center stage at a home World Cup, make sure you're listening to Call It What You Want, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can join me, I'm Jimmy Conrad, alongside Charlie Davies, Tony Miola, Marcelo Balboa, and Benny Feilhaber throughout this tournament for previews, instant reactions, and analysis of every U.S. match. Then all summer, we're back every Tuesday and Thursday covering all things U.S. men's national team. Download and follow Call It What You Want on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
To talk about, I think, is a sign that either the relationship is going nowhere or you have zero charisma, zero game, and you should probably give up on your dating life, which is basically, they call that a Paul Rosenberg, by the way. But eventually you find somebody. But Rosenberg strikes me as a guy on the first date that would just sit there and stare at the girl and hope to God that they split the bill. All right, that was a little bit of a low blow. That was a little bit of a low blow. You could
no, that. I think it's on first dates, the guy should pay for sure.
Definitely.
Here's what I would
say.
What
do you mean first dates? They should be paying. The guy should be paying more than just the first date.
Here's what I would say.
Oh no, here we go.
If you go to a second place or another bar after
drinks
the
afterwards,
restaurant,
you should
drinks
still pay.
Afterwards.
The guy should
I think
still pay.
That is a situation where the girl could be like, I got this.
She could say, I got this, but you could say, hold on, I'll grab that. And I know it's old school, and I don't think it's necessarily being chauvinistic to say this, but I just think it's the right thing to do for the early time. And then eventually when you get married and stuff, it's all the same.
So
even though sometimes I pull out a credit card, my wife pulls out the credit card, it's all the same stuff. It's just whoever's more active in far as grabbing the credit card.
Credit cards, not debit cards?
Wasn't that it's the same thing? What do you mean?
No.
Yeah, I meant I pull out the plastic, whether it's credit or debit.
Okay, there we go. That's much better.
It doesn't matter. I say credit card. When I say credit card, I mean credit card or debit card. I don't distinguish between the two. It just says I pull out a plastic card, and it's either credit or debit. It's not cash. But as far as where I'm at on a set, so when I'm on a first date, a second date, whatever, you want to be very, very chatty. But now that I'm married and almost married for 10 years, or even when I was had a long time girlfriend or when I was dating my wife before we got married, I never wanted to be the couple. Because you go to a restaurant all the time, right? And you see the couple that's just sitting there not talking. And it's so like uncomfortable and awkward. And maybe that's their happy zone. Maybe that's their happy place. Or maybe they're miserable. I don't know. But I never wanted to be the couple that sat there and didn't say a word. So... And my wife could be very chatty. She's just not chatty with me for whatever reason. You put her in any type of a scenario, she's very talkative. But with me, she's not, because by nature, she doesn't want to be talkative, but she feels a pressure around other people to talk. So she's very good at sort of, well, I don't want to throw this word out here, faking it. When it comes to conversation, she likes to fake it. But you faked, I faked, you faked. She can fake it, but... When it comes to us, she doesn't feel the need to fake it. So sometimes maybe I have to carry the conversation. But even if it's talking about the food, it's talking about the place, it's talking about whatever. No, we don't talk politics. We don't talk things like that. We certainly don't talk sports. But I always want to keep the conversation going to some degree because I don't want to be that couple that's sitting there at dinner not having a conversation and then people looking around and they see us and they go, they must be miserable because they're not talking. So I will. Now, you brought up a good point, and I feel that way more and more as I become a radio host here, which is, what, 6 months in? I do want to sometimes not talk because I sit here and talk all day. And listen, I'm not pulling out the world's smallest violin. It's obviously a dream job. It's an easy job. It's a great job. But there is a little bit of the, well, I got to talk later, so I wouldn't mind not talking now. And you can catch me at times off air where I can be a little bit on the shy side. I think the best way to because someone asked me this last night, are you different on the air? Are you different off the air? What you hear on the air is what I can be 24/7, 7 days a week. I just don't always choose to be this way. But this is what I am. It's just sometimes, for whatever reason, either I don't like small talk or I don't feel like being this type of personality off the air because it can be exhausting sometimes. It's like, all right, I'm just going to tone it down because I want to. But I can be this all the time. I'm capable of doing it. It's just sometimes I'm not in the mood or I don't feel like doing it. What, I got to be your constant source of entertainment? But here, this is my job. So I'm happy to show you the maximum of my personality, if that makes sense. But everything you get here is who I am. It's just, it's kind of like pro wrestling. You turn the dial up. But I could have that dial turned up all the time. I just choose not to. I felt like that was a low blow before Rosenberg. So I'm not going to apologize. But if I could tell by your reaction, you were kind of, but you are, you know, but let's be real here. You're definitely, I've heard enough stories to know that that's just the way you operate.
And that's fine. Listen, no one has taken more.
Don't give me the sob story. I don't need the sob story.
It's not a sob story. Just nobody has taken your more body blows than me.
But it's, most times it's warranted because we're going to get to it coming up. You owe me two items. Two items you owe me. We're going to find out if you got it for me. And then I need to read some of these text messages that you sent me last night that I thought were extremely snarky. So we'll go over that coming up this hour. We'll continue to take your calls on the Giants, on the Mets, on the Yankees, on the Jets. Really, what's ever on your mind. You want to ask me anything, much like Richie just did there and Ask Tommy Anything. We'll do more of a formal segment on that either tomorrow or Thursday. But tonight, we could pepper him in from now till midnight. It is Tommy Lou Gower. It is Lugie the Late Night here on The Fan. 9:30 here on The Fan in New York City. Tommy Lou Gower!
I think at one point, we're going to have to start talking about the weather for Thursday.
I hate you. Lugie! It is after hours here on The Fan. Hopefully everybody's having a very pleasant league evening. It is the All-Star break. The American League is up 3-0, top of the fourth in Philadelphia. The Philly fans, after booing all the All-Star participants not wearing Philly uniforms, and the Philly fan got some sports karma last night because Kyle Schwarber lost in the finals, so the Philly fan that all of a sudden got their sports muscles back because when they abandoned their basketball team and they tucked their tails between their legs and left and didn't show up to see the funeral for their basketball team, now all of a sudden they're back to being tough in a big-time sports town and they want to boo the non-participants, non-Philly participants in the Home Run Derby. Everyone wants to say it's a great atmosphere. Please. I mean, this is supposed to be fun. This, you're supposed to be gracious hosts and you're sitting there booing everybody. And then that's one thing. You got your medicine. Mr. and Mrs. Met got booed tonight by the Philly faithful? You're going to boo Mrs. Met? Two great mascots? Not that dumb fanatic that you got in Philly? I mean, stay classy, Philadelphia. Really. You've done a great job. You've been gracious hosts here for the All-Star game. You've done a wonderful job. Sports karma last night, and now you're booing Mr. and Mrs. Met. And that is my focus, and that is the Fan focus. It's presented by Chef IQ. Watch the game, not the grill. Get your gear at chefiq.com. Let's head out to Matt in Belmar. He joins us on After Hours. Matt, what's going on?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Listen, I just want to talk about the Mets. Mm-hmm. I was there over the weekend. There's no way to sugarcoat it. We've hit the low part of the season, getting swept by the Red Sox. Couldn't even hold on to the game Sunday, and as you look at this team going to start in the second half Thursday in Philly, you got to be just sellers and sell all your key assets because the Mets are in a hole and there's just too many holes around this team. And I'd consider selling Lindor, honestly. Weaver, Freddie. I mean, the season's over. I don't think they're going to turn this around because, first of all, they're just not consistent enough. They win a series, they lose a series. And second of all, the lineup's just not strong enough to carry the team through this hole. And you don't. And it's in and out with the pitching staff, so you got to think about the future, and I just don't think this team is going to maybe they'll do something. I don't know, but I just don't think this season is going to go.
Yeah, I would not. I would not trade Lindor. I've made that quite clear.
As far as they dumped Pete, though.
What happened?
I mean, they dumped Pete. Lindor's an aging guy. I mean, who's not having? Listen, Lindor's he's struggling a lot, and I guess.
Yeah, but you're gonna have to eat a lot of his contract, and I don't think the Mets are willing to do that here. Plus, I wouldn't trade him because I still think he's a much productive player, despite what he's done this year. He's still one of your best players, so I would not move on from him. Now, as far as Weaver, that's an interesting one because he's going to get a pretty penny in return, but he also signed a 2-year deal, so there's the argument to keep him and let him be the back end of the sort of bullpen guy or even your closer going forward.
Where would you look at for the second half of the season what the Mets should do? Okay, listen. Maybe they go off, but I just don't think the team is good enough to be optimistic. We could be buyers at the deadline. They can't. They've proven that. You are what your record are. Then they've just—it's just bad baseball. Getting swept by the Red Sox at your home—you can't even.
Well, the Red Sox are two games under 500, and they're one of the hottest teams in baseball. I'm not suggesting you should get swept by any account, but they definitely. Yeah, Sunday the game was in their back pocket. Yeah, yeah, that one they need to have. Yeah, I understand that. They got swept. You can't get swept. But the Red Sox are not the Red Sox of a month ago. I mean, they swept the Yankees in a 4-game set. So they're playing really good baseball. Now, as far as what the Mets are going to do at the deadline, they have a couple of weeks here to decide. I mean, the deadline is August 3rd. See how it goes for the first couple of weeks. And for the sake of the conversation, if they end up being sellers, the one guy I would be, obviously then you're not trading Soto, Ewing, Benj, and McLean, guys like that. But I'm not trading Soto. I'm not trading Lindor.
No, obviously not. Maybe not Lindor, but key guys. Who are assets team out of a productive year that could look for short-term rentals like Peralta, probably not Devin Williams, but I mean, and even beyond next year, I mean, there's a lot of functional pieces that might not be here. It's going to be a whole different team because I think the Alvarez fading advantage there is unfortunately, maybe Alvarez, but he showed signs of good,
yeah,
a good win. But Bane Vientos is just, it's unfortunate for Vientos. I really like them, especially in 24 for what he's done to the team. But, I mean, they're going to have to reconstruct their team at the end of the year and try to build on what they have because it's just another year like this for the Mets. And I don't know. There's one season left, but I just think the season is just not going the way we all thought it would be at the beginning of the year.
Yeah, I mean, listen, nobody's happy about the situation they're in. I appreciate the call, man. Not even positive Tommy. I'm not going to sit here and say I wanted the record to be this. Obviously, I wanted it to be a heck of a lot better, and I will always err on the side of positivity. But you talk about the look of the team next year. Benj will be back. Ewing will be back. Soto will be back. I think Lindor will be back. Polanco will be back. You could make the argument for Luke Weaver being back. I want Clay Holmes back. He's already been open about wanting to sign an extension with the Mets. I want Bichette back. So there's a lot of guys that I want back, and I think that will be back. Nolan McLean, Christian Scott, Zach Thornton. There will be relievers that they're going to trade at the deadline, so certainly their bullpen will have a new look in this second half if they end up trading those players, and then obviously next year. But you talk about Vientos, and he got hurt, so they can't really get rid of him right now. Beatty is on his last legs. I think that's fair to say with the Mets. The catcher situation, they could end up moving on from Francisco Alvarez, but he's still a young player. He still was the top prospect in all of baseball. Now, at some point, you have to be that player that you were projected to be, but also Francisco Alvarez has been the victim of injuries throughout his career, and every time he starts to get off to some type of hot stretch, he ultimately, Francisco Alvarez, gets hurt, which has been unfortunate. But I think more guys are coming back and more guys that you see on this field now are going to be a part of this team next year than you realize. Because the outfield's not going anywhere. These young pitchers are not going anywhere. I would like to see Clay Holmes come back on an extension. I would like to see Bo Bichette back. I would not trade Francisco Lindor. So who are we really talking about? Polanco will be here. So what are we talking about? Simeon's going to be here. Vientos, Beatty, Alvarez. Those are really the three names that could not be here. Or some of these relievers, Raley, Minter, Williams, Weaver, etc. So I think that's a little bit overblown that the Mets are going to have this new look, new team next year. Now, new manager, of course. I want that to be Alex Cora. I want Scuba here as well. But I think a lot of the core of this team that you see now and are going to see in the future, and that's why I keep pumping up the outfield when it comes to Ewing and Benj and Soto, because that's the Mets outfield, hopefully, for the next 10 to 15 years. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. By the way, for the first time in a month, because he's been gone forever, Paul Rosenberg is back producing, I guess you could call it that, this show. And because it's his first show back, I assume he is ready to go with everything that I asked him for before he left. So number one, Cosmic Brownies. I expect to eat them next segment, Paul. I'm all ready to go. So when we get to the 10 o'clock hour, you will present me with those Cosmic Brownies, okay?
Don't have them.
Why not?
Can't find them anywhere. Next week.
You told me...
On the Powers That Be podcast, we examine the players and currents behind today's most consequential decisions. Join us. Listen to the Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.
8 weeks ago next week, then 7 weeks...
I look every week.
Okay. Wherever you're looking, obviously, is the wrong place to look. Why don't you expand your search?
I do. I go to different supermarkets, different bodegas. Can't find them.
Okay. How about stop looking where you live and start looking where we work or somewhere else?
Nothing's around here. I tried today as well.
Why don't you, since you are in Jersey a lot, why don't you try to find Cosmic Brownies in Jersey?
I have. Don't have them.
You were just in Florida. Why didn't you look for Cosmic Brownies down there?
Wasn't thinking about it.
How come you don't try ordering the Cosmic Brownies online?
That's a good question.
Okay. So you keep saying next week. You keep saying next week. At this point, I'm just asking you it out of principle. Like, I'm over it. I don't even feel like trying them at this point. This was something that
we did.
All right,
so it's off the mix then.
No, it's not off the mix. Now you just, out of principle and out of spite, I'm going to make you bring them in. That's where we're at. Because we're going to enjoy them. You eat dessert every single night. This is why I'm perplexed by this. Because you are a man driven by food, by your stomach. You are somebody that your entire existence on this planet is around food. You are basically, you have a meal, and then whatever happens in between your life, it's all you getting to your next meal. You literally will walk into this radio station and talk about what you're going to have for dessert. I walked in there before, and you were having a six-course meal. You had sausage, you had eggs, you had pancakes. It was like you're at Denny's.
I did not have any of those three. I had a chicken cutlet.
Okay.
I had sweet potatoes, and I had some yuca fries.
And did you eat them on a paper towel?
I ate them on a paper plate. I put the paper towel below the paper plate to minimize mess.
Okay. So what are you having for dessert tonight?
Don't know. I didn't bring any dessert actively.
Yeah, I know, because you were supposed to bring brownies. That's why we would have had me. Dessert if you brought brownies.
So I'm going to actually, during one of the next segments, I'm going to probably run outside and grab something.
Okay. Not during the show, though.
Yeah.
No. No. Yeah. You're the only person back there. You're not allowed to leave during the show. Now, that if you have to go to the bathroom, you have to throw up, or if you're having a heart attack or something like that, then feel free to leave. But to go get a Twinkie or to go get a Twix bar is completely and utterly unacceptable. You're the only person that's working on the show besides me. Do I leave during the show to get a candy bar?
Have you ever thought about it?
No, because if I leave, there is no show. And I would like to think you had that same type of mentality.
Clearly, I'm going to go to a vending machine and see what's up.
Okay. That's number one. So you're 0 for 1. Number two, right before you left and you went to Disney for 6 weeks, I asked you to bring me something back. What did you bring me back?
Actually, I offered to bring you something back and you said no.
You did not offer me anything.
You said no.
No, I did not.
Yes, you did.
No, I did not.
Yes, you did.
No,
you
I
said
did.
No. I said, Tommy, do you want me to bring you something back? And you said no because you never give me anything. Because I thought you'd think you were going to feel bad.
Yeah. When did this conversation take place?
The last day I was here with you. Which I think was a few weeks ago.
No. I specifically said either surprise me or bring me back something that makes me think that you're thinking about the show and thinking about me when you're on vacation. You didn't do that. I don't have anything sitting in front of me. I assume nothing is going to be presented to me from your trip from Disney. Is that correct?
Yeah, you didn't ask for anything.
I did right before you left. In fact, I think we even checked in with each other once when we were off to talk about something else, and I asked you about Disney and whether you were bringing back something, and you said, oh, I'm at the store right now. What do you want? And it's like, no, it's not a matter of what I want. It's pick something out and bring it back to me. I'm not going to be like, hey, get me a Yoda doll or something like that, or a Grogu. I just want you to see something there at Disney.
Those things?
I want you to see something at Disney. I want you to buy it for me, and I want you to bring it back because it makes me think you're thinking about the show because you were basically gone for a month.
Again, you said no, so.
No, I never said no. Now, I need you to pick out your phone here, and I need you to go to our text messages that we had last night, because last night, the Home Run Derby was on Netflix, and we don't have Netflix here at WFAN, so I had no way of watching it, and I have to be honest, I forgot that it was on Netflix. I was reminded when I was driving home, and Al Dukes brought it up on the warm-up show with CeeLo, and he mentioned that it was on Netflix. I was like, oh, that's right, the Home Run Derby is on Netflix. Okay, I'm going to need to get on that. So I texted Rosenberg about it yesterday. So, Paul, I will read my parts. We'll do like a screening here, like we're doing a table read for TV. Sure. I will read my text messages, and then you will read your text messages. So here's the first text that I sent to you yesterday. Is there a way for us to get Netflix tonight on the studio TV so I can watch the Derby?
Whoever's working with you tonight needs to log into the YouTube channel. Log into your or their Netflix account, and you'll be able to watch it. I think it's on House Channel 17, blah, blah, blah.
What are you, yada, 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 yada me? I mentioned the bisque. You're going to blah, blah, blah through the best parts? The fact that you had a blah, blah, blah through it furthers the point that you sent me this cockamamie, long, convoluted text message. Why couldn't it be more concise?
Who said anything about bisque?
You blah, blah, blah through the end of it.
Because so, I don't think people are going to care that it's on House Channel 17.
No, they do care, because they want to know why you, as a producer, did not provide me with concise and easy instructions how to get Netflix last night on the television. So the fact that you had a blah, 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 if you felt like the audience doesn't care about it, then why would I care about it? So then why did you send it to me?
It's your show. Of course you care.
Okay, further. Furthering on the conversation here, I wrote, how do you log into YouTube?
You got to find the YouTube attachment on one of the computers from the COVID days. I'd have done it for you when I was in earlier today if I had known. I can remember.
No, you skipped over. No. What did you type after known?
LOL.
Why is it funny? Do you think last night that conversation we were having was somehow funny? I can't get Netflix. I can't get the Home Run Derby. I can't watch it.
I'll tell you the funny part.
But what's so funny about it?
Is you didn't remind me earlier in the day yesterday about this. Because if you would have texted...
It's not my job to remind you.
Of course it is, but it's...
No, it's not. What do you mean, of course it is? Of course it not is.
Hold
on. Easy there, Tiger. Of course it not is. It is not my job to remind you of things.
Of course it is. I'm not thinking about that.
You're not thinking about the show that you normally produce and we're not there because you got a gracious slide down so that you can...
What's slide up?
You moved down to midday show to work with Sean and Tiki. You moved down to work with those two guys, and you didn't think about what was going on at night, and that is the show that you actually produce. You didn't think I'd want to watch the Home Run Derby on Netflix. So
I thought you've been working here for so long that you knew how to hook up the TV. Clearly, I was wrong.
Keep reading the text message.
Clearly, I was... Hold on. It froze.
Okay.
Here we go. I can remember how to do it if I was actually there. Much tougher to explain, LOL, or ask engineering, / Hoffman.
Should have done it today, then.
I'm not a mind reader, LOL.
Be a producer.
Open night tomorrow against All-Star. Who are we getting?
Text Papa Giorgio and see if you can walk him through it.
I'll try later. I'm out right now.
Keep going.
And Martel just called me to talk about shifts in April.
Why does that part matter? Why? Think about it. I asked, so let's go through this. I needed Netflix on the television. I needed my producer because I was working with Papa Giorgio, who's a part-time producer. He doesn't know how to do any of these things. Now, luckily, he was able to set me up on the computer, so all's well that ends well. But
no one ever told me about.
Okay. He is not equipped because he's not a full-time person here to know what the heck is going on and how to get Netflix. Amazingly enough, because I talked to Hoffman, we talked to engineering, you, Paul Rosenberg, are the only person at this radio station that knows how to get Netflix on the big screen here at the studio. So having that knowledge, you would think you would have the foresight when you were sitting here during the Evan and Tiki show to have it already set up. So when I walked in on Monday night to do the show, Netflix would already be here for me and for Papa Giorgio. So the fact that you said, I'm not a mind reader. It's not about reading my mind. It's about you knowing what's going on that night and you taking care of the show that you normally produce. Just like I used to do whenever I went on vacation, I would make sure, whether it was Craig and Evan, whether it was Evan, Tiki, and Sean, whether it was Summers, I made sure, unless it was a full-time person either getting a slide over, like you or Hoff or whatever, but if it was a part-timer, I made sure down to the T's and crossing them and dotting the I's that they would be able to be equipped and know what to do in every situation. You had one job, and that was to have Netflix on the television, and you text me back, I'm not a mind reader.
You also texted me at 6:56 last night.
No, I did not text you at 6:56.
Yes, you did.
I texted you at 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
Check that. You tried 6:50. I'm wrong. 6:50 you texted me.
Okay. What does the timing have to do with it?
Because if you text me at 4 o'clock, maybe I'm still here and I can do it.
Why wasn't it done before you left?
Because I didn't know you needed it. I didn't know you didn't know how to work it.
But how about you reach out to me and say, hey, Tom,
That's not my job. You know what? Hold on. Do you want me to reach out to you every day about your show now? Because I will do that.
Did you do it with Steve?
I will. Yes.
Okay.
All the copy.
Okay, so you did all this stuff for Steve. You don't do it for me, though.
Do you want me to print you out a copy?
I want to make sure.
Do you want me to print you out a copy, yes or no?
No. Obviously, I'm not Steve. We did that for Steve for certain reasons. You don't have to do that for me. We don't have to get into all the gory details of why we did that for Steve, but somebody did that for Steve once, and when you do something once for Steve, everybody else afterwards have to do it for Steve. That's basically what it is. So, obviously, Eddie Scazzeri, the great Eddie Scazzeri, he was the first one to upcut Steve with the sound bites. So from now until Steve ended up, from then to when Steve retired, we all as board ops had to upcut Steve, which means you would play a sound bite before he stopped talking. Which I agree with him, it's smoother, it's better, but it created a lot of tense.
Well, it was like having sex.
It created a lot of tense moments here at WFAN. I'm not asking for that. I'm just asking for the one night a year where I needed Netflix on the television.
What?
For you to have it set up and for you not to text me something snarky like I'm not a mind reader.
Can you look at yourself in the mirror?
And then at the end of the conversation, I'll try to later. I'll try.
I was out.
I don't care if you're out. What does that mean to me? I don't care what you're doing. Do what I ask.
Me and Nick got it done. We got it taken care of. And no one
even... No, you didn't get it taken care of. No, you did not get it taken care of.
Yes, we did.
No. I wanted it on the television. It was on the computer. So it was not taken care of.
It was not my fault. Well, what happened yesterday, that was not my fault. Because I knew about what happened because Nick showed me. Because we FaceTimed. And I couldn't get that off. That's an engineering thing.
You're pushing it on engineering.
If you have an issue with engineering.
No, I don't have an issue with engineering.
Yes, you do. You have an issue with engineering.
I have an issue with you punting to and pushing it on the plate of engineering, who do a fine job here. Engineering has nothing to do with this.
Yes, they do.
No,
they
no.
control what's on that channel. I can't get that off the screen.
Was Nick able to log into YouTube?
Yes.
Was he able to...
He got everything done. The only thing that he couldn't get done is get it on the big screen.
According to Papa Giorgio, now I'm going to have to go back to Papa Giorgio and ask him this, because according to Nick Papa Giorgio last night, that was not the case.
What did Nick say?
He just said me and Rosenberg FaceTime and we couldn't figure it out.
No, to my knowledge, he figured it out.
Yeah,
we
but your knowledge is limited. We've been
we
over this. You're a moron.
12. We couldn't get it on the screen. That's what he told me.
Shut up. Was engineering here when you left yesterday?
I have no idea. How am I supposed to know that?
In all likelihood, when you left at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, do you think engineering was here at the radio station? Would it probably have behooved you and the engineering department and for my radio show After Hours to have set this up so when I walk in that Netflix is ready to go for me?
It would have been nice. I'm going to send a note.
No, it would have been nice. Nice would be to you to check in when you're on vacation and ask me how I'm doing. That's nice. Nice is to help an old lady across the street. Those are nice. What I needed was this channel to be on the television screen.
I am going to send a note.
It's not about being nice.
I'm going to send a note to engineering,
to Ray,
and to Ryan, and I'm going to get everyone involved to make sure.
No, I don't want upper management involved.
Oh,
I don't,
now
no.
you don't want upper management.
No, because I want it, because you know how they get. I want this to be done internally. Yeah, we can police ourselves here. I don't need upper management.
Internally? It got thrown out the window 10 minutes ago.
I need you to put that to do what I need internally.
10 minutes ago. This is not internal anymore, Tommy.
This is an internal investigation.
Not anymore.
I have 3 producers. You're one of them, unfortunately. And I needed you to do something. And you want to rope in the entire company.
I'm not roping anyone in. I was able to get it done. It couldn't get on the screen because
this is not something that should involve upper management. This is something that you and I can police with each other.
This is not a you and I thing.
Yes, it is always a you and I thing. It's not an upper management thing. It's a you and I thing. It's not Martell. It's not Hurley. It's not the architect. It's you and me, pal. All right? You should have had it set up. And at bare minimum, you shouldn't be texting me back. I'm not a mind reader. You think that's a great response? Do me a favor. Next time...
How was I supposed to know you wanted that?
Text your girlfriend that.
How
I'm not a mind reader. And let me know what she gets back to you and says. Because you're going to be sleeping on the couch, buddy boy. You can't say... Not that I'm your girlfriend, but I'm essentially your work wife. So when you text me back something like that, how do you think that makes me feel?
How do you think it makes me feel when you're attacking me constantly?
I'm not attacking you constantly. I'm putting your feet to the fire.
No, you're attacking me. No. I heard a few things on vacation.
Paul, all of them are for the job, though. To be fair. And you just openly admitted that you did more for Summers than you do for me. Fair or unfair?
That's unfair. I asked you if you wanted...
You did ask me for a guest. And what did I say?
You said no.
Did you offer up a guest idea?
No, because anytime I offer an idea, you don't respond.
I don't know if that's entirely accurate. I think I usually just say no.
No.
If I don't respond, that's on me.
You walk in. You don't say hello to me. You say hello to Connor. You say hello to Gallo.
I don't want to say hello to
you. You say hello to everyone.
I don't need to say hello.
You don't say hello to me.
I don't need to say hello to you.
You stare at me like I'm an animal.
And who are these rats that are ratting me out, the stuff I'm saying on the air to you? I want to hear it. Who are the people that are ratting me out?
I'll never reveal my source.
No, well, you got it right
now. I can't.
You have to. You're telling me people are diming out what I say on this radio station?
Absolutely. I have a lot of friends out there, man. We got a break. I got a lot of friends out there.
We got to get to Ozzy at some point here. I know he said he's going to call me tonight because he wants to. He is on my side, though. Normally, he's on your side. He's on my side. And to set the record straight here, if I somehow come off like I'm attacking you, let that not be the case. I just feel like there are things that need to be done for the show. That's part of our relationship.
You know what that is? Pretty low life right there.
That's a deep cut. You'd have to be what do they call that? A type one listener? What do they call the people that listen like literally all the time? There's a word for it in radio.
A diehard?
Yes, but there's a different phrase for it. A step one. There's some type of phrase for the listener that listens all the time. Ozzy and Woodridge. That's basically who we're talking about. That knows every little thing that happens on the show. For all I know, it's Ozzy that's diming me out. I don't think you and Ozzy have that type of relationship, though. I don't know who it is. I'm going to get to the bottom of it, though. Yeah, so I feel like when it comes to Loogie versus Rosenberg, everybody's on Rosenberg's side. Nobody's on my side.
Oh, I have a lot of friends. I have a lot in the corner. I have a lot of friends in the corner.
But there were people that called me last night that were on my side with the Netflix situation. So I think the overall consensus is that I'm in the right on this one. Because it is work-related. It's something that you should have done.
I understand it's work-related.
Before you left, you should have had the Netflix set up.
No, but again, the point is that I wasn't thinking about that. I was thinking about the show.
So you're not thinking about my show.
Of course, I wasn't working your show.
But you're the full-time producer of the show, so even when you're not there, you should be thinking about the show and helping out the person that's filling in. That's the way.
So you don't trust the guys back here. That's what you're saying.
Anytime it's a part-timer, they're swimming in waters that they're not used to. They're not equipped to handle every single situation like you. If you
Papa Giorgio is not going to be happy about
What's your nickname?
The Glue.
Would the Glue have Netflix set up for his host when he's not here? Wouldn't look somebody that puts and keeps the station together?
If I would have known that you didn't know how to put Netflix on the TV,
I see what you did there. You're pinning it on me that I'm somehow stupid and I don't know what I'm doing. And I see right through your passive aggressiveness right there.
That's honesty.
No, that's not honesty. No, that was passive aggressive.
It was passive aggressive.
You said, well, if I knew that you weren't capable of it, you laid it on thick there. That was very much on the nose. It was very much on the nose. Okay, out of the three things that we just covered here, Cosmic Brownies, anytime soon?
Next week.
Okay. Disney.
If I go again, sure.
Great. And then the third one, I assume you've learned from your mistakes.
Yeah, and hopefully I'm going to teach you how to get it on the TV.
There you go. You could either teach me how to fish or fish for me. That's what you need to do. And not send me convoluted text messages. And don't say that you're not a mind reader. I literally almost threw my phone out the window. I'm not a mind reader. That's what he says. I was like, why didn't you set it up beforehand? I'm not a mind reader. Okay. 888-808. Sorry, we had a little bit of what do they want to call that? A detour there with Rosenberg. I apologize for that, but that's pent up for the last month. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Your calls on the Giants, on the Mets, really anything on the sports menu here. We're monitoring the All-Star game. Last I checked, it was 3-0 American League. We'll certainly react to that after it's over. The Yankees and their players, Ben Rice, Cody Bellinger, all have the RBIs in this game. It is 3-0 going into the bottom of the fifth out in Philadelphia. So if you want to talk baseball, you can. Trade deadline, football, a lot of things on the table. And ask Tommy anything. If you want to weigh in on the Lugauer-Rosenberg situation, you can as well. I know the audience loves it, so have at it. 888-808-1019. It is After Hours. It is Tommy Lugauer. Lug in the Late Night here on The Fan.
How We Made Your Mother is a rewatch podcast that looks back episode by episode at the hit TV show How I Met Your Mother. It's hosted by me, Josh Radner, along with series co-creator Craig Thomas.
In seasons 1 and 2, we were joined by Neil Patrick Harris, Kobe Smulders, Bryan Cranston, Ashley Williams, Wayne Brady, Jenna Fischer and Angela Kinsey, Joe Manganiello, and my brilliant co-creator Carter Bays, and now we are diving into season 3.
So whether it's your 50th rewatch or your first time through, follow How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.